The nation's housing market has a long way to go to get back to the days of building and buying.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. News today that the National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index didn't budge this month over last. Today's housing market gauge was about what analysts were expecting. The GOP takes over the U.S. House right after the first of the year, and sure enough, there are going to be a lot of changes. One thing, though, that could be on the chopping block, current Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's initiative to reduce the House's carbon footprint. Critics say the Green the Capital plan was a big waste of money. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
Some of the Green the Capital initiatives included compact fluorescent lighting and recycling. But then there were the forks. A special House Green team ordered biodegradable cutlery for all the food outlets on their side of the Capitol. The forks broke and the knives wouldn't cut. There was bipartisan outrage. Energy lobbyist Jeff Homestead says the Green initiative was mostly PR.
In terms of making a difference in the real world, it was not substantive.
Critics really went wild when the House invested about $90,000 in projects to green the Midwest. But environmental lobbyists say overall, the Green the Capital program did save money. Scott Schlesinger is with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Economically, it was a big plus for the Congress and therefore the taxpayers.
Schlesinger says all told, the two-year program saved at least $2 million. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, just barely, though. The S&P up about 0.2%. The NASDAQ now up 0.5%. The Dow higher by 33 points at 11,509. The Labor Department said today its consumer price index nudged up about 0.1% as energy prices rose by the smallest amount in 5 months. European markets are mostly lower. Irish lawmakers today voted to back the $90 billion international bailout fund for Ireland. There's some bad news for the Japanese economy. A closely watched index of how confident businesses are and how they're feeling about the future has gotten worse for the first time in nearly 2 years. From Tokyo, here's the BBC's Roland Burke.
For weeks now, there have been signs that Japan's economy may be shrinking. Now this quarterly business survey, known as the Tankan Survey, has added to the gloom. More big manufacturers are feeling pessimistic about their future, and smaller companies are bracing for tougher times ahead. Earlier this week, the government announced a cut in corporation tax to try and help business. Japan has one of the world's highest corporate tax rates, and economist Naomi Fink from the Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi UFJ says more needs to be done.
The corporation tax cut is a step in the right direction. There has to be a comprehensive package that takes into account the necessary reform that must take place in Japan structurally so that productivity will rise and thus enhance growth.
Prices in Japan have been falling for nearly 2 years. That's given investors a worrisome case of deja vu. Deflation curbed economic growth in the country in the 1990s. And as the world recovers from the global recession, Japan was hoping to avoid losing another decade. In Tokyo, I'm the BBC's Roland Burke for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Looks like the United States may be ready to jump back into an industry it ceded to the Chinese a decade ago. This morning, the Energy Department will be sharing its strategy on getting us back up to speed on critical rare earth metals. This week, a company called Molycorp got final approval to reopen such a mine in the Mojave Desert in California. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner from the Sustainability Desk got a firsthand look.
A year ago, I'd never heard of rare earth metals. This week, I found myself on a bus to Mountain Pass, California, taking Rare Earth 101 from Molycorp spokesman Jim Sims.
Didymium, as you'll learn today, is a combination of neodymium and praseodymium, and those are all used.
Forget the tongue twisters. What's important is we depend on these metals. They're in cell phones, hybrid cars, laptops, even jet fighters. China's been the dominant producer for years now, but it's cutting back exports. So Molycorp is preparing to reopen the only rare earth mine in the U.S. It's just off Interstate 15, an hour southwest of Vegas.
We're about 400 feet from the edge to the bottom.
General Manager Rocky Smith gives the guided tour of this open-pit mine. It's an impressively big hole in the ground, more impressive than the rust-worn buildings here that date back to the 60s. That's when this mine supplied the world with europium, the stuff that gave us vibrant reds on our color TV screens. But the mine closed in 2002, plagued by environmental problems and Chinese competition. When it reopens, Molycorp's promising cleaner operations and at least 20,000 tons of rare earths a year. CEO Mark Smith says that's more than enough to meet current U.S. demand, and there's room to grow.
We've only disturbed 55 acres after 58 years, and we own 2,222 acres. So we will be here for many, many hundreds of years.
A bit of CEO hype, perhaps, but Smith has reason to be giddy. Molycorp's stock price has more than doubled since July. But Agora Financial's Byron King says Molycorp has yet to prove itself.
This is a lot more like running Dow Chemical Company than it is like running, say, Barrick Gold.
King says rare earth mining and processing is complex chemistry, and the U.S. hasn't done it for years. Starting over again will no doubt test Molycorp's mettle. In Mountain Pass, California, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, a man walked up to a craps table at the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas in the wee hours of yesterday morning and robbed it at gunpoint. The thief had ridden up on a motorcycle to the hotel. He went inside with his helmet still on. Even at 10 minutes before 4 a.m., people were still gathered in the casino throwing dice at a table where the man then pulled out a gun. He took a box of casino chips worth $1.5 million. Then he left the building, got back on his bike, and rode into the sunrise. How and where the thief is going to try and cash those chips, some of them worth as much as 25 grand, we don't know. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Think for a second about where Turkey sits on a map, and then figure out what happens if Europe gives them the cold shoulder.
We are a giant pipeline for human resources, for trade, for everything. It's like a bridge for accessing the Middle East.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Turkey turns east. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.